This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley. The program is generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. Its aim is to encourage listeners to stay happy, healthy, and active. I'm John Dodds, and today we're talking pickleball, a game created by Joel Pritchard, a congressman from Washington State, together with friends in his garden in 1967. The game is now over 9 million devoted players in the U.S. With me to bat a few questions over the net is Dr. John Horth, Senior Network Administrator for Sports Medicine Relationships at St. Luke's University Health Network. Dr. Horth has spent nearly 35 years in athletic training and a nationally recognized expert in his field, and was inducted into the Pennsylvania Athletic Trainers Hall of Fame in 2009. Welcome, John.
Great to be here, John. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. John, can we talk a little bit about yourself before we get into pickleball? Tell me a little bit about your role.
Sure. So my role at St. Luke's is to oversee the sports medicine and larger efforts around our Fit for Life program, which is really the efforts to get people outside or inside, but moving and being physically active and looking after not only their physical health, but, you know, social health, mental health, emotional health. And so that can take on many different aspects in my role, because it might be with school programs or it might be like Pickleball Lehigh Valley, where we have a large outdoor pickleball complex, but also some great indoor facilities.
Interesting. And of course, pickleball may not be known to everyone. Tell me a little bit about the basic rules of pickleball.
Sure. So pickleball is actually a combination of tennis, badminton, and table tennis. So it has elements of each. When the game was created back in the 60s, as you mentioned earlier, it really was cobbling together what, you know, he had available in his garage, essentially. And so the court is the size of a badminton court. It has lines somewhat similar, serving areas similar to tennis. And then the play up near the net takes on some of the components of ping pong or table tennis. Like other racket sports, the goal is to get the ball over the net and, you know, kind of force your opponent to make errors. Games typically played to 11. You know, it's played with a paddle. That's similar to a table tennis and racquetball racket, kind of a combination of that, with a lighter wiffle ball. So a ball with holes in it, not exactly like the wiffle ball we would play the baseball type game with, but a ball with holes symmetrically around it. Pretty simple game, usually playing doubles, but there are singles that play the game. And the nice thing about the game is that it's easy to learn and it's easy to play, but it's a difficult game to master. So people who haven't exercised in a while, who are interested in getting into it, it's easy to pick up, have fun with your friends, laugh a lot. And if you want to get serious, you can get as serious as taking it to the professional level.
Right. So the actual speed of a ball is like a third of a tennis ball, isn't it?
Yeah, about the third of a tennis ball. And that's one thing that people have to get used to is that, you know, it is a light ball. It's a wiffle ball. It's affected by the wind. It slows down in a hurry. It's a wiffle ball. But like I said, it's a game that's easy to pick up, but difficult to master.
Absolutely. And why do you think it's become so popular?
Well, you know, pre-pandemic, the numbers were somewhere, and it depends on where you read this, but it was 2 million maybe that were playing the game. It had been introduced and has been played in schools for quite some time. But since it doesn't require a lot of equipment, pretty simple game, wiffle ball, couple paddles and a net, many people started playing it in their driveways, you know, and wherever they could find the space, you know, several years ago. By the time 2021-22 came around, all of a sudden the numbers were jumping into the, you know, the 8-9 million. And now there's considerably more than that nationally that are playing the game. And it's everyone. It's, you know, juniors all the way up to, you know, the octogenarian. So I think because it's easy to learn and you didn't have to be a great athlete, you can enjoy it with your friends. The popularity has just taken off. And the larger part of it, I do believe, is not just the physical component, but the social connections that it creates. You know, I tell a quick story. I started a program as a spinoff of Pickleball Lehigh Valley in the Poconos. Started with about a dozen players, and now we have over 700 members. So it does create a bit of an addiction, I believe, to the social component. People start to rely on one another. You know, they ask when they're not there. They begin to do things outside of the pickleball environment. And so it's very healthy from both a physical perspective, but a social, mental, and emotional perspective as well.
I want to get back to that later because I think the social element is very important. But pickleball, the actual name, there's a whole range of different stories behind the name pickleball.
Yeah, so I've heard a number, and I think the one has been, formally debunked. It supposedly had something to do with the dog's name was Pickle, but I believe they asked Pritchard about that, and he said, we didn't have the dog until later. But there's something, I believe, around a pickle boat and those types of things. So I think that that's where it comes from. There's other quirky things about the sport, like people refer to the kitchen area, which is the area up near the net. And it really has nothing to do with a kitchen. It just is a name that kind of, you know, was tagged on it and stuck. But there's little things about the game that keep it fun. And the pickle name itself, I'm not sure that he's really ever divulged that other than the pickle boat story that I heard.
Right. And the kitchen, I think I'm not the leading expert. You're supposed to stay out of the kitchen, aren't you, in case you get hit or you that you have to move quickly to hit the ball.
Yeah, so the area near the net, there's a 7-foot area on either side of the net, which is technically referred to as the non-volley zone. What that means is, and this is where tennis players have to adapt. In tennis, many who have played it in the past know you would serve and then you would get to the net to volley. The non-volley zone is just that. In that 7-foot area, you cannot step in there and hit the ball out of the air. You cannot volley it out of the air. But if the ball lands in that area and bounces, you can certainly hit it. But you don't want to stay in the kitchen because if you stay in there and someone hits it at you or hits you, then, of course, you would lose the point. And you can't volley it, so you don't want to be hanging out in the kitchen. So stay out of the kitchen.
Very interesting. And I guess some of the elements of the game resemble squash because the ball dies quite quickly. And so you've got to rush into the ball to get the ball.
Yeah. Earlier I had mentioned about a lot of people forget it's a wiffle ball. It slows down in a hurry. And so you have to remember that to advance on the ball and to keep it active. Most of the game is played up near that kitchen area or should be played up near that kitchen area so that, you know, that 7 feet from the net is kind of the prime real estate. And so when you watch better players play, they will look to advance on that line and then look for an opportunity, usually because of their opponent's mistake, to speed up the game and hopefully get a ball that they can put away. But if you're back a little bit, that ball will slow down in a hurry. It's a piece of plastic with a lot of holes in it.
So what are some of the common misconceptions about pickleball?
Well, I think one of the things, and I think this is an important one to touch on, you know, from a health perspective, is that there have been articles published about the number of people that, you know, have gotten hurt or injured playing pickleball. I think orthopedic surgeons and physical therapists have seen their fair share of individuals who have hurt themselves playing pickleball. But the reality is that if we took, and some of the numbers are now, are closer to 30 million people, 30 to 40 million people that are now engaged in the pickleball sport.
Goodness me.
But if we took 2 million, you know, group of people and all of a sudden increased it to 40 million and they were fly fishing, we'd probably see some fly fishing injuries too. When people become more physically active, which is a good thing, some will tend to overdo it. Some will have an unfortunate step. And some might have been just on the cusp of an injury, and so the activity brings that out. So it's one of those things where I always say, you know, we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. The good news is that, you know, people are getting physically active. I have people that have been in weight loss programs that have joined our pickleball community. I have people that have lost 25, 30, 50 pounds because now they're doing something that they hadn't done maybe in 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And they found a way to get moving, have fun doing it with friends that they have a great time with.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the health benefits. Clearly, you mentioned the exercise and the circulation and also the social side of things. What other health benefits are there?
Sure. From a physical standpoint, what I can tell you, again, is that as people begin to exercise again, and I think that's important, is to remind people that you will get injured if you don't start correctly. So take a class, warm up correctly, do your dynamic warm up, make sure that the muscles and the joints are ready to go, and we'll prevent the large number of those. So once we've done that and people get moving physically, we see increases in strength, we see increases in endurance, we see their ability to move better. So their mobility is better. And all of those are positive physical outcomes of being engaged in physical activity. But over and above that, you know, one of the things that, you know, happened 2020 was that people weren't as connected. And people have been looking for different ways to do that. So, you know, in the one group that I belong to, you know, I've become great friends with people that I would have never known otherwise. And so now, in addition to, you know, playing pickleball with them, you know, there are things that we do socially. And so there's that connection. There's definitely a community that's developed. And, you know, that's something that Pickleball Lehigh Valley has reinforced. There's a community of people, and you can find your group. You know, if you're a beginner and want to play for social reasons and not that competitive, you'll find your group. If you're a highly competitive person that wants to play at the highest levels and go and compete in tournaments, you can do that too.
Right. And don't do what I do as an enthusiastic tennis player and jump straight into it and fall over because, as you said, I misstepped. And it is a terrific game, but it does take a little bit of time to get to understand the timing of it.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, people, the competitiveness comes out in them. And they might forget that they're not 25 years old anymore or 15 years old. You know, they're 40 years or more beyond that. And so we don't quite move the same. We don't react the same. Important safety rules, you know, we don't run backwards, right? And most of us will not play for a world championship. So we have to remember that we might just let that ball go. So reminding people that, you know, enjoy the game, but be safe, be prepared. Take classes, get good instruction, and then go out and have a great time.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the type of, in broad terms, it's everybody. But is there a typical pickleball player or is it across the board?
Boy, we have seen it all. You know, and it includes everyone. There is wheelchair pickleball. We have pickleball that involves seniors and the junior group. So we run a group for juniors, junior league. I have a group that's called Little Dinkers. So we're teaching those individuals. Some of them have had it in schools. Some of them have not. The largest group, I would say, that most people have identified playing pickleball would have been the boomers, right? So, you know, a lot of people, 50s into their 60s and 70s playing. But the fastest growing group is that group between about 16 and 34. A lot of young, fantastic players, you know, taking on pickleball. Some people coming out of tennis into the sport of pickleball because now, you know, it's become a little bit more mainstream, commercialized. There's some money to chase for some of those individuals. So we're seeing a lot of great young players. We had the United States UPA, the United Pickleball Association, Pennsylvania State Championships just a couple weeks ago at Pickleball Lehigh Valley. You know, we had a number of young professionals playing in that event. What a fantastic opportunity for people in the region to see some
Absolutely.
Very, very high-level players.
Absolutely. This is John Dodds talking pickleball with Dr. John Horth, Senior Network Administrator for Sports Medicine Relationships at St. Luke's University Health Network. We're on Active Lehigh Valley. After the break, we'll discuss how you can get involved with pickleball and what you need.
You've already discovered that this NPR station is an excellent source of news and entertainment, but did you know that this station is a nonprofit? Public radio is for the public, available to all free of charge. That is possible thanks to people just like you who give what they can to support open access to information. So thank you for listening and for making all of this possible.
Call 610-758-8810 or give online at wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Active Lehigh Valley with Dr. John Horth, Senior Network Administrator for Sports Medicine Relationships at St. Luke's University Health Network. John, I visited the St. Luke's facility and it's absolutely unrecognizable from the old West End tennis facility. Tell me about the setup.
Yeah, Pickleball Lehigh Valley and the setup there, 82,000 square feet under roof. Of course, many people remember it as a Vantage Point, you know, the old racket, West End Racket Club. Six barrels, those gorgeous cathedral ceilings that house as many as 25 different pickleball courts. It is separate, so on the one side, we've dedicated it fully to the sport of pickleball with 12 hard court regulation pickleball courts. And then we also have some other areas. So we have a beautiful event center that's kind of an ancillary use space where we can host parties or social events related to the pickleball or other activities. There's a viewing area, a mezzanine area, that is also another great place, social gathering place for folks to, you know, view their spouses or friends playing the game and playing in tournaments and those types of things. The outdoor space has 22 official pickleball courts. It's in a park-type arrangement, so there's a nice plaza area that we continue to improve, and that's the area where we just hosted the United Pickleball Association Pennsylvania State Championships, and we're looking forward to a number of other large tournaments outdoors next year and our first classic this November at Pickleball Lehigh Valley. So November 1, 2, and 3, we'll be seeing people come from across the region to play indoors at our facility.
Very impressive. Now, if I'm someone that has given up tennis and given up a lot of things and thinking, this sounds kind of cool, what do I need as an individual to get involved?
MyPickleballLV.com is where people should go, and that'll link them on to where they can find more information. So if they just want to scan, see what's going on, look at some pictures, that's where they can land. Otherwise, what we encourage people to do, we're at 4636 Crackersport Road in Allentown. Of course, you can see it right from Route 22. And so it sits right off of the highway on Crackersport. We encourage people to come out. We're there every day, Monday through Friday, Saturdays and Sundays. Our staff, we have a great events coordinator and program coordinator, Deb Schlosser, and her staff are there and can answer any questions, take people on tours, and really get them to understand, you know, what the Sportsplex and Pickleball Lehigh Valley is all about.
Mm-hmm. And are there other pickleball courts in the Lehigh Valley?
There are. So a lot of communities have put outdoor pickleball courts, you know, for use of their residents. And during the better months, a lot of people will migrate outside. We have our own 22 outdoors, but many communities across the valley have added, you know, 4, 6, 8 courts for their residents. You know, there's this demand for courts. So that's great. But when it comes to instruction and tournaments and leagues, and of course, now we're at the time of the year where days are getting shorter, the weather is getting a little bit more questionable, and people want to come inside, they want to continue to play. We're the only indoor facility that's truly dedicated to pickleball.
Right. And if I wanted to make any investment before what would I need? I need a bat, I need a ball, I need proper trainers, what would I need?
Yeah, so the great thing about Pickleball Lehigh Valley is if you just want to check it out, come on out. We have some passes. People can participate in a course. We have loaner paddles, right? So people can come out, check it out. We have some great instructors. We have 7, 8 pro instructors that offer anything from beginning courses on up through, you know, those for the more advanced players, professional players. So, you know, I encourage people to come out, try it out. If you want to get started on your own, because there are plenty of courts out there in the Lehigh Valley, don't invest too much in the paddles. Invest you know, small amount. You can go on Amazon. You know, you can go to Dick's Sporting Goods. We have a great pro shop at Pickleball Lehigh Valley where they can teach you a little bit about the differences in paddles and those types of things. JGB Sports is at our facility. But what I would say is start slow. Really all you need is a ball, a paddle, and a paddle for your friend, and you can go out there and, you know, really figure out the game. Like I said, it's easy to learn. It is an addicting game, so once you get hooked, you're going to want to play. But that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I guess proper footwear as well.
Yeah, so proper footwear, there are court shoes. There are shoes that are specifically made for pickleball, and depending on whether you're playing inside or out, there might be slight difference. But a typical court shoe would be fine, and a lot of folks will use a tennis shoe. You know, very similar in makeup. But again, JGB Sports, our pro shop has them. Others, you know, online sources have them as well.
If I feel I'm a little bit more competitive, how do I know I'm going to be good enough for a competitive league?
You know, so there are open play opportunities at our facility. They're leveled. And when you come and you take either an instructional course or you get involved in the open play, it settles out pretty quickly in terms of, am I 3-0 player or lower? Have I advanced to the 3-5 level or the 4-0? There are actually rating criteria that people can look at. The United States Pickleball Association has a rating chart. People can go online and look at that. It really is about, do you have these skills? Have you developed these skills? And with what consistency can you execute on those skills? And of course, as you start to minimize your unforced errors, very much like tennis, you know, execute on all of the shots, then your rating will go up.
And it's interesting because people, tennis players, and I've been one for many years, they're kind of a bit serious sometimes. And they might look down a bit on pickleball, but actually, as a game, it can be just as technically demanding.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that some of in the tennis world have tried to bridge that and address that misunderstanding. So you see some ambassadors, right? So they've had the events with Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi and John McEnroe and Michael Chang. And, of course, Jack Sock recently converted from tennis, you know, ended his tennis career and came into the pickleball world. And there's more and more of those that have done that. You know, top ladies player in the world, Annalee Waters, who has some connections to the Lehigh Valley, has been playing since a very young age. She's still very young, 17, I think, now, but top women's player in the world. Very technically savvy, can execute on all the shots consistently at the highest level of all. But it takes a while to get. Not everybody's going to get there, nor does everybody want to. The way to find out what level you're at is really to come and join in a leveled open play, take some instructional courses. We have pros that will actually do that. They'll actually rate the person so that they understand, yeah, you should enter a tournament and maybe consider going in at a 3.0 or a 3.5.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm rather unfit, say, or I haven't done exercise for a while, what precautions should I take before I go on the court or take instruction? Should I speak to my doctor? Should I have any particular precautions? Because obviously you suddenly get to an exertion level and you don't want to have any surprises.
No, you don't. And so anyone who's had an underlying, you know, condition or hasn't exercised in a while, you know, as part of their annual wellness exam should have that conversation with their physician. And then start slowly, right, and approach it, you know, so that you can build up the capacity. We also offer fitness-related courses specific for individuals that are looking to get into the court and play the game. But the main thing is start slowly, learn the game, learn the techniques, and build yourself up to the level that you aspire to.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about the social side of pickleball, which is something people hadn't maybe even thought about. Tell me a little bit about the social side, both in the Lehigh Valley and at your particular facility.
Yeah, so across the Lehigh Valley, and there's an app that people can put on their phones, Team Reach, and then different groups have different codes. And they're really groups of individuals. They might be in Easton, they might be in Nazareth, they might be in the Poconos. that, you know, they've come together as a community, and that's where they share information about, hey, we're going to play at 2 o'clock this afternoon at Louise Moore Park, or we're going, you know, at 6 o'clock to play at the Pickleball Lehigh Valley Sportsplex. So the social component, the communication across this is both for playing and then also celebrating what people are doing in the sport and outside of the sport. People begin to follow one another and how they're doing. And so it creates this community of folks that it really goes beyond the boundaries of the sport itself. The social connection is one of the biggest pieces. People that play over at Pickleball Lehigh Valley in the Sportsplex, they stick around afterwards. They want a place. It's a destination. It's not just a place to go and play pickleball. It's a place that when it ends, we're going to
The conversations
talk.
Begin.
The conversations begin, and then it may be off to do something else together oftentimes. So this social connectivity is important, and you can see it. People are excited about it, and it's a very vibrant community.
How about some memorable experiences that you've had? Funny, personal, being involved with pickleball?
Well, the one that I would mention. So, you know, I started probably about 2.5 years ago now, maybe a little bit longer. And I was one of those individuals that, you know, I'd played tennis, I'd played racquetball. I was looking at all the people playing pickleball and like, what is this all about? And then my wife and I decided, let's give this a try. And it's like, oh, this is pretty fun. And then, you know, you go down to the courts and, you know, I'm pretty competitive and have been largely athletic most of my life. So, you know, promptly got beaten by, you know, a couple of 80-year-olds. So the lesson is that there's a lot more to the game in terms of skill and knowing how to play the game and strategy than a lot of people think. It's not just whacking a wiffle ball with a paddle. The other interesting story is, and it goes to this social connection, about a year ago or so, I played in the U.S. Open in Naples, and I played on what they call a blind date. I didn't have a partner. This other gentleman didn't, but I wanted to go, and I wanted to play, and so my wife and I traveled there, and I played with a gentleman from Delaware, and we didn't know one another, but it was just a great match, great connection, and we made our way through the tournament and ended up winning a national medal, a bronze medal.
Terrific.
In our age group. And
wonderful.
It was fantastic. But it was more, you know, from the time we met and then started playing and all of that for the next several days, we did a number of things together. And then we got talking about an upcoming tournament here in October in Utah. And through a common, you know, common connection, had said, you really should think about playing in this. So I mentioned it to this gentleman, Lewis, and he was like, let's go play. So we signed up while we were there. And so here, you know, here's someone that I never would have met. And we've stayed in contact. We've been talking about this trip, and we're going to reconnect in Utah in a couple of weeks, and we're going to play in the Fall Brawl at St. George. And this is what's happening across the country.
That's wonderful.
You know, that's just one little story, but there's a lot of that that's happening.
That's wonderful. So, John, before we close, I want to know a little bit about the websites that people can go to and a little bit about where they can find out a little bit more. You mentioned a couple of sites earlier on.
Yeah, absolutely. So USA Pickleball is the official association for, you know, pickleball in the United States. And, you know, it continues to grow, not just in the United States, but internationally. And so there's some aspirations to take it to the Olympic level. That is a very, very good resource to go to. There are another number of other local or regional sites, I guess you would call them, that you can go to. But if you want some instruction, and I've shared this with people in the past too, when I first started playing and I was struggling a little bit, I was like, you know, why am I struggling so much? And then I went, there's great videos. So if you go on YouTube and you pickleball instruction, there are great series on YouTube, you know, other sites that you can go to and learn about the game. And what I learned from it after watching the videos and going to the USA Pickleball site was like, I'm really not playing the game yet. I'm playing tennis on a pickleball court. and you have to play pickleball on a pickleball court.
Absolutely.
So there's such great resources out there, the United States Pickleball Association, and then, like I said, on YouTube, any instructional videos that are out there are well done.
Wonderful. Dr. John Horth, Senior Network Administrator for Sports Medicine Relationships at St. Luke's University Health Network. Many thanks for joining us at WDIY to talk pickleball over the net. This is John Dodds thanking you for joining us on Active Lehigh Valley on WDIY 88.1.
If you enjoyed this program, you can hear this episode and more, along with our other public affairs programming at WDIY.org, on WDIY's free mobile app, on your favorite podcast platform, or live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WDIY.